Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is AppSats Radio, help for partners after sexual betrayal. We talk about it here.
Betrayal trauma.
We are AppSats certified clinical partner specialists and coaches who have been trained to help navigate you through this crisis. There is nothing we won't talk about.
Sometimes listeners want to know about triggers.
I'm dealing with the aftermath of my husband's affairs, and he still works the same job that he did when he was acting out. It's a job that allows him to hide his goings-on and one that he stated was a previous trigger for his acting out. The whole 16 and a half years we've been together, he's acted out. In the beginning, what I thought it was just pornography. It ended up being, I found out 2.5 years ago, he had been with multiple prostitutes. I only found out a very small portion of that until about a month ago. How do you cope with all of that when you still have to deal with unavoidable triggers?
Well, of course you would feel traumatized by hearing all that information. And I gotta tell you, Stephanie, that's a staggered disclosure. That's finding out little bits and pieces about your husband's behavior throughout a time period, making you feel insecure, unsure, and unsafe. So what we gotta do is set up a situation whereby you get with a specialist to do a formal disclosure so you can hear everything at one time in a safe environment.
You know, that is so right. It's solid advice. And sometimes you might need several disclosures if there's been a whole history of acting out, and then you get a disclosure, and then there's a relapse, then you may want another disclosure. But I want you to look at that disclosure as your friend. I want you to believe and to know that that's a way that you can access the truth. Now, I've had many a couple, or I should say many an addict, who said, you know what, I'll be happy to do a disclosure, but I'm not doing that polygraph. I'm not doing it. Well, for me, because I have such a good polygrapher, I really believe and trust in him. I wouldn't do it any other way. And I said to my clients, well, then you'll need to find somebody else to help you with the disclosure, because I just don't believe that an addict can be 100% honest. You know, I want to say that if there isn't a mechanism to measure his honesty, that he will leave things out because he doesn't want to hurt you, because he thinks you almost didn't know everything. What's the big deal? Now, that is his own denial. That's him minimizing. And that's his fear about hurting you further. And that's why I say it's always important to have a polygrapher to actually measure the outcome. So, welcome to Betrayal Recovery Radio. I'm Carol Jurgensen-Sheep, a.k.a. Carol the Coach. And I am so happy to be with you today, especially because I've got a wonderful guest, Jennifer Cole, from Dawning Hearts Coaching. She has this model that she uses with partners, where awareness creates choice, which then empowers. So she runs groups and sees individuals that really work diligently on measuring their own life. You know, she wants to help you as a partner decide what's out of balance. What do you need? What are your values? And then identify what what seems really crazy right now? And she's going to talk today about these tools and how they're used and how you can apply them to your life. Because the truth of the matter is, I was talking with a few days ago, and she said what makes it so difficult for her in getting through her recovery is that I'm her only support. She hasn't told any friends. She hasn't told her family. And she is keeping this silence locked inside, with the exception of having told me. And, of course, talking with her husband. And I have been encouraging her to figure out one other person that would feel safe, that she could trust to hold the secret. And if she just absolutely does not believe that she can do that, then I want her to be able to have a support group, have a coach. You know, I'm a therapist and a coach, but the truth of the matter is, if she's got me, then the next thing I want her to do is I want her to find a second professional that can really help her work through the process. And when that happens, the more she divulges in a safe environment, the more she'll be able to figure out her own feelings. I mean, it is an amazing experience to find somebody that you trust that isn't going to judge you and is going to be there specifically for you and hold a space for you to be honest. That's really, really important. And so, if you're like that, if you don't feel like you have enough support, then you need to go to the APSATS website. That's www.apsats.org. And look for a coach or a clinician in your area that you may be able to meet with face-to-face. And if COVID prevents that, and really, you can look at anybody and say, you know, who do I resonate with here? And figure out, you know, with a coach, you give them a try, you know. You commit to a certain amount of sessions and you let them know what you need more of or what you need to change. And through inquiring questions, they will get you to that process. And that's the beautiful thing about coaching. It's very positive despite all the chaos, despite all the secrecy, and despite all those negative cognitions in your head that somehow says, I'll never be able to trust him. I can't trust myself. What's wrong with me? Why didn't I see this? Those are all such natural things to think when you're facing trauma and you've learned about a discovery. And what we at APSATS do is remind you and help you to know this has nothing to do with you. It affects you greatly. But you're not the reason for the problem. Okay, so I am super excited whenever I can work with somebody, whenever I can have somebody on the show who has skills and tools to help partners to feel better. So, Jen Cole, welcome to Betrayal Recovery Radio. How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing very well. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well also. I've got to say that we're really in a place where the world seems very unsettling, and, mm-hmm. you know, that's the experience of most partners. And so when I can have somebody like you on, and I am going to remind everybody that Jen is a certified professional coach, and she has been coaching women for over 8 years from all over the world. She lives in Canada, and she has this very special interactive coaching process that will help you to determine what it is you need. So, Jen, being a registered nurse by trade and deciding to go into coaching, tell our listening audience a little bit about your program, ACE, and what you have to offer.
Oh, thank you, Carol. And I want to just preface, we've got some COVID kids here today in the background that just got together for the first time to start their band up again since February. So if I apologize and tell me if there's background noise that I can hear drums and guitars going on in the background. But anyway, I'm just happy to have the kids here and in a safe place. So, no, but thank you for having me on. And, yeah, so my big thing, I think, and Carol, you can relate to this as a coach. It's just I'm big on acronyms as a nurse, I guess. And I came up with ACE, meaning ACE is like I picture playing tennis. You know, when you get an ACE, it's like a one and done. It's like, whew, it's like a good hard shot. And I consider it to be creating, like we've got awareness is what I do with my clients. We create awareness with these great tools. And then the woman has choices, which leads to her empowerment. And I do back that up a little bit by saying, I get that sometimes our choices suck, but at least you still have a choice. So you're still empowered. And I think that's really important. So ACE. Yeah.
Well, and you're exactly right. I always say to partners, you know, I am so sorry that you have to come up with a list of boundaries and consequences for his behavior, but you've got to protect yourself, and it may feel very harsh to have to do that and be in that position, but having the choice brings about empowerment. And empowerment is what we seek for our clients. So
exactly.
I want to ask you, I already talked to our listening audience, and I said, now Jen is going to be talking about different tools, and you do offer a full arrangement of tools to help people figure out what it is they need. Partners are so distressed. You know, their brain is already offline from the discovery and from the trauma. Tell us a little bit about your wheel of life.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. So the wheel of life I want to share with everyone that's listening is a very common tool that you can Google. They may vary ever so slightly, but the whole idea, again, going back to my ACE creating awareness, is around, you know, where's the satisfaction in your life? So there's different categories that I particularly use for just a general life perspective. So it looks at family and parenting. It looks at personal development, spirituality, fun, relationships, both intimate and social. So it could be your husband, your partner, or with friends. Healthy aging, finances, and your career. So on any one of those things, so picture like a wheel, like a pie, if you will, and you rate each one of those categories or each one of those slices of pie from a 1 to a 10 as to how satisfied you are. And then as a coach, you would send that back to me and we would look at, okay, so if you're not happy, obviously, with your relationship, if you're a partner of a sex addict that's still acting out, but let's just say personal finance, for example. If it's a 6, then all I simply ask as a coach is what would make it a 7? And we set goals around each one of those pieces of the pie. And the other thing too, Carol, if you don't mind, is that not only do we use this as a general sort of assessment tool to see where we're satisfied and where we're not, but I also have broken it down into relationships. And I also use this especially in trust development. So if a partner, like a sex addict, is in recovery, you as a partner can look at this and go, well, where do I feel most trustworthy of him? So will he physically hurt me? Okay, no. Good. Okay, so we've got that off the table. Does he spiritually abuse me? No. Okay, good. Do we have fun together? Yeah, sometimes. So I might rate that a 6. And we go around the wheel. So we can use it for so many reasons. But I start off with those women, like you said, that are in distress or something like that, just recently out of discovery, just to find out where we're at.
And so it's a very non-threatening way to be able to assess one's life in general, and then you help them to get specific about what they would like to do to improve that.
Yeah. Because as much as they may come to me as the partner of a sex addict, sometimes it feels safer for, and I say women, I know men can be partners as well, but I'll just use women as an example. It's safer for them to just say, you know what, I'm having a hard time with my son right now. So that's why I rated myself a 4 on the parenting scale. And it's like, okay, well, let's just work on that. And it creates a relationship, a trust-building relationship, even between her and I, so that she can then extend that trust into talking more about what's going on in her marriage.
Well, excellent. And so it really kind of paces them where they're at. So the person that, if you will, would be able to just spill the beans and talk incessantly about all the trauma and drama and chaos in their life, this matches them with their own communication style and what they need.
Exactly.
And so, Jen, how does a client decide they need coaching to begin with? I mean, if they were to look at your website, and please share your Dawning Hearts website with the group, what would they see and how would that resonate with them?
So I think what they would see there is a lot about me. I've got some blogs on there. They can go to my Dawning Hearts Facebook page where they'll see videos as well. Which really tells more about me, because as Carol and I know each other very well, so I'm more of a talker than I am a writer. So they'll see that there's a difference between therapy and coaching, but it's a fine line. It really, really is. They'll see lots of resources on there that they can just go to, links to other places that I trust, so that I want partners to have options and choices, because I feel like partners have been robbed. They were robbed of their own choices. They didn't know on their wedding day, for example, that they would be married to a sex addict. They didn't get that choice. They didn't get to choose. If their husband called them that night and said, by the way, I'm going to go look at pornography tonight, Are you okay with that, sweetheart? She didn't get that choice. So I want to make sure that women can see, you know, everything about me and have options so that they can move forward in whatever way they like, even if it's not with me.
Yes, absolutely. And so, again, I'm thinking about most partners are trying to discover are absolutely in shock, and they can't believe that this is happening to them. And that's a very specialized situation, because of course, as you know, Jen, they need to feel safe and stable, and that's what a coach and a therapist would do, is to get them to first feel safe and stable as they move into that stage 2, which is grief and mourning. Now, the wheel of life could apply to them at what APSATS phase? Since you're an APSATS coach, where do you see the wheel of life being the most helpful?
I see it most helpful probably in phase 1 and 3. So not that it's
okay, and why
1 and 3?
2.
Yeah. So I'm thinking if I'm getting a client, if a partner comes to me and she's initially in that shock state, as you suggested, this is, like I said, a safe place for her to start and just kind of figure out, where is my life a mess, basically? And it breaks it down for people so that it's like, I guess the saying goes, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? So this is my version of that. So they can break it down and not feel so overwhelmed. And then, so that would be the first phase, like when they're not feeling safe or whatever. And I would ask them, like, where do you feel safe about your family, about your career, about, and then they start to feel a little bit better because they can go, well, I still have my job. Okay, my marriage is falling apart, but I still have a great job. And that helps. And then on the other end, stage three, where they're into post-traumatic growth, well, then again, we still look at their satisfaction and then see where they want to develop in each of those areas. The middle phase, I'm not saying that the wheel isn't useful, but that's where, as a coach, I spend a lot of time listening to their story, validating their grief, working through that, and just allowing them to share because they need to have some outlet. Does that make sense?
Oh, 100%. And you know, I love this tool because I'm a big believer. You and I are both coaches, and we want people to keep life in perspective. And even though there are so many things that are devastating in their life, there are also some things that they probably can still appreciate or find gratitude in. And so, for
example,
the Wheel of Life, we'll give them some of those areas, right?
Exactly. And it also is for those, so from a coaching perspective as well, I know therapists do this as well, Carol, so always jump in. But from a coaching perspective, we are specifically going for, like, we're goal-oriented, very much so, all right? So our job is not to go into the past. That's a therapist's job to analyze, treat the trauma, that kind of thing. But we are goal-oriented as coaches. And again, this is where the Wheel of Life, if someone is able to do it, like I said, what's going to take you from a 4 to a 5? I don't need perfection from my client. That's up to her. It's, I don't need a 4 to a 10. What's a 4 to a 5? What's it going to take you to do to just feel a little bit better about your, you know, spiritual aspect of life? Like something like that. So it's all goal-oriented and forward-moving. And that's what I really love about this tool.
Well, and it's interesting because I am developing an empathy course, and one of the things that I have couples do when they're measuring their relationship, I have them measure by asking them to ask each other, how would you rate our relationship for today? And if they say a 6, okay, what would make it a 7? And when each person can identify a small task or a small activity that would improve that relationship, it's very doable, and they're much more likely to make it happen.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I couldn't agree more. That's brilliant. I love it. And I don't know, again, if I kind of laugh, but I don't know if this goes back to my nursing background. But, I mean, these assessment tools and these scales of 1 to 10, just like I used to measure pain management, just is really helpful because not only does it help me understand where she's at, my client is at, but it's so quick and easy to use that she can do it a week from now and see where things have changed and grow.
Okay.
So she might not have a job. She may be fearful about her finances because she's a stay-at-home mom and he controls all the money, and suddenly she goes out and gets a job. Well, I would like to see the finance 1 to 10 scale go up, and I think that's amazing, and we applaud that.
Absolutely, and that's how they can measure their success, that goal that you said, because coaches are so goal-oriented. I mean, you can write your goals down and check them off when you're able to get them accomplished. And usually they build on each other, don't they, Jen?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Of course they do. It's like a whole can of worms that we actually want to open.
Exactly. So now let me ask something else, because you used something for awareness, I believe, and it's the values assessment. So share a little bit about that.
Yeah, thank you for asking. That's one of my sort of proudest tools, if I may say that, that I've developed. I mean, there's lots of values assessments out there, but I've developed it even further. So if anyone out there wants this from me, just reach out through Carol or through me at dawninghearts.com. But basically, it's a checklist, a laundry list of value words. So some might not mean anything to you, and some mean everything to you. But the whole idea is that until we've been betrayed or have been through something horrific, we're never forced to really stop and check what our values are. We know we have them, but we're not forced to actually look at them and name them. And so, again, going back to the awareness piece, as you said, Carol, I have this exercise where I have a laundry list of value words. And what you would need to do is go through each one and rate them on a scale of 1 to 10. There's my scale again. About how important that is to you. And then you would also rate that same value based on how much you walk it out each day. So there might be a bit of a difference. And then we want to note that difference. And then the last part, and I've got videos on this, so I won't take up too much time here, but then we go into whether it's a choice-based or a fear-based value.
Okay, so give us an example. What do you mean choices and fear-based value?
Okay, yeah. So I'll give you a personal example, if I may.
Please.
So what? Loyalty has always been huge for me. So I'm a partner of a sex addict, but long before I met my husband, like, I was the best friend to everybody. I was the peacemaker, the nicest to people, blah, blah, blah. And I look back on my life and realize that I was loyal to you. So say Carol, because you and I are friends. I would say I'm loyal mm-hmm. to you because I desperately need you to be loyal back to me. So if I do all the right things to be loyal to you, you automatically will be loyal back to me. Phew. That makes me feel better. And then all of a sudden you betray me, which, by the way, Carol never has. I'm just saying. So it's a shock. I realized that my desperation for loyalty towards others was so that I would get it back. And then when my own betrayal happened, so I still value loyalty, but then I recognized and realized, no, from now on, I still love being loyal to my friends. So like, dear Carol, I will be loyal to you and not expect anything back in return. And if something happens between us, that's fine. I will still be loyal. So that's where it switches.
We know.
So the value is still the same, but it went from fear-based to now I choose to be loyal.
Well, no kidding, and you do that without the expectation. So when somebody does disappoint, and sometimes that mm-hmm. happens, human beings are human, and they mm-hmm. do the wrong thing, or they make a bad choice, or maybe they unintentionally hurt your feelings, it doesn't hurt as much because you have not placed a value on that relationship based on getting it back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's the whole, so this whole exercise takes quite a while, actually, because the awareness comes from, oh, I didn't even know I valued that, but I do now that I see the word on the page. And, oh, but wait a second, I just stole a chocolate bar yesterday, so I value honesty, but now I only walk it out at like a 2 because I stole something, right? So there's conversations that we can have as coaches and clients. And then from there we go, well, where does your honesty come from? Your value for honesty, is it choice-based or fear-based? So sometimes it's from the way we were raised. We were just told you have to be that way, have to. It's like a bad word in coaching. And otherwise, if it's choice-based, well, then we have to look at that as well to figure out, well, if you choose to be honest, but you went and stole a chocolate bar yesterday, what's going on? It's not judgmental. It's just meant for conversation and awareness.
Huh, that's amazing. And again, it makes you, well, it doesn't make you, but you can choose to learn and grow from it and become a better mm-hmm. person, improving your values or really appreciating the ones that you like about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jen, you know, obviously with partner betrayal, that is one of the most crushing aspects of the betrayal itself, is that all those important values, marriage, spirituality, loyalty, honesty, they all mm-hmm. are so shaken in the relationship. Mm-hmm. Do you find mm-hmm. that partners are able to process what might be going on with their husbands as they look at their own values?
Well, that's part of what I teach after they do this exercise, is understanding that I know there's a morality behind this and that certain people are going to feel a certain way, and our audience today, about cheating, fidelity, loyalty, all that kind of stuff. So just for conversation's sake, if we can say that we all agree that obviously we're in pain as partners because they've cheated in some way, shape, or form. The idea, though, is when I talk to them about values, I also teach them that no one person's values is more valuable than the other. And what I mean by that is I know I went through, at any given moment, if you can picture like horses jockeying for first position at, what do you call that down there? The Kentucky Derby, I think.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So you see horses jockeying for first position as they come up to the finish line. Well, imagine those are your values at any given moment. So I went through, well, right now I value my kids and my family. And, oh, the next second later, it was like, no, but I want money in my house. And the next minute was, well, I don't want to be known as the divorced woman in church. And, like, it's all of these things. So there's the competition within ourselves. And if you can think about that and apply it to your spouse, you have to just stop for a second and go, it might not be right or wrong, and I don't want to pass judgment. But for cheating and things like that, it's like for some reason, in that moment, his value was more on the addiction than it was for his family, his finances, his wife, his loyalty, all of those things. So we tap into, and then I look at their value for compassion and see where that comes in. So it all kind of gets, it's not messy. I don't want to say that because I don't want to confuse people, but it's very interesting and very telling as we go through different sessions to really unfold all of what's going on. But to recognize that your value right now, Carol, say for this podcast, might be different than, I don't know, my need to go and get a drink of water right now. Like, who knows? But it's better, no worse. It's just it. And so I try
I love the non-judgmentalness. I mean, coaches mm-hmm. are supposed to be non-judgmental anyway, but this really removes that from the equation, doesn't it?
Yep, and that's my whole point. Because I don't know what you're going through in this very second, nor do you know what I'm going through in this very second, nor does she, nor does him. And so it just is.
Wow. Okay. So now you've talked about the wheel of life and you've talked about the values assessment. What is the personal, well, it's called the personal chaos index. It's called the PCI.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's personal chaos index, and then I've also heard it called the personal craziness index. What have you heard it called, Carol?
Well, for sex addicts, they call it the personal craziness index because it's, of mm-hmm. course, when their life is becomes so crazy. And it could be anything mm-hmm. little from having a filthy, dirty, messy car, or mm-hmm. it might be that you're so busy that you're not going to meetings anymore. What is your personal chaos inventory?
Yeah. Well, it's the exact same, just different wording. But I love how I was first introduced to this through Patrick Carnes from Facing the Shadows. And then Stephanie Carnes adopted it in her book, Facing Heartbreak. And I've used it both personally and with all of my clients. And I love this tool. I've even taught it to my children. And basically what it is it's an inventory, as you said, Carol, and they break it down into certain chunks, kind of like the Wheel of Life, but you have to figure out, I call it like a red flag or a warning system for us. So we've all been through COVID right now. I know the East Coast just went through a hurricane. You know, picture like the warning signs that come through. So if you're in recovery as a partner and you're working really hard at it, the last thing you want is something to throw you off. You want to stay in control in a healthy way, and this is a really great tool to do that.
Okay, so break down the different areas of that. I mean, for the personal craziness index, oftentimes there are certain things one should do to remain structured and that provide support and help somebody through life. And then the second part of that really allows you to determine what are the kinds of things that when my life is out of control, these things are too. So what would a partner PCI look like?
Yeah, I think it's pretty much the same. So if I can just backtrack a little for those that are listening, and Carol, again, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's definitely in SAA, but I'm not sure if it's in SA, Sex Addicts Anonymous. They use the circle, the three-circle method, right?
Absolutely. So, Patrick Carnes developed that.
Okay. So the whole idea is, to me, this is an early warning system to when you're encroaching into your middle circle or your inner circle. So we all want to live in our big outer circles. This is the healthy way to live, trigger management, you know, we're doing all the right things. And it's not like that life is perfect, but it's close, you know, that kind of idea. So what happens is we break it down into things like physical health. So if I encourage people to kind of think about this when they're in a good place, not in a bad place, so that they can determine what their trigger warnings might be. But physical health could be like you don't shower for 2 days, or you start becoming obsessed with your weight. You're like you picked up smoking again, or you're drinking more than you normally do, or you're not sleeping well. Okay. So ding, 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 red flag. So if that starts to go off, you can go, stop going on around you to figure out, is there something else intuitively that I'm picking up, or where else is my life getting out of control? Where is it getting crazy or chaotic? And then you have a chance to stop it sooner. So another analogy that I used as a nurse was for pain management. And the idea was you picture a snowball at the top of a mountain, and that's your pain. So your pain is really small. But as it rolls down the hill, it continues to grow and grow and grow until it becomes an avalanche. And by the time you're at the bottom and you didn't take your Tylenol, you're in trouble. So the idea is to take your Tylenol when it's just a little snowball up top, just like this PCI is going to tell you, and you can stop it. It may still roll down the hill, but the pain is less because you have measures in place to take care of it. So if you recognize your sleep patterns are off, or your weight is going up, or you haven't exercised in 3 days, now you have choices. We're back to the choices part. And then you can become empowered to do something about it. So the other categories that we can quickly go through is transportation. So that might look like from, you know, not your car with gas when you normally would be right on full all the time. It could be not getting your oil changed. It could be honking your horn at people when you normally don't do that. Again, I say ding, 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 red flag, I'm stressed, something's going on. before the you know what hits the fan. The other category is environment. So it could be clutter around your house, not doing your chores, like you haven't done groceries, dirty dishes, like rotten food in the fridge, you know, something like that, that you want to identify for yourself. It's like, again, that's my alarm. Something's going off the rails. And the last few here are work. So how you're doing at work, whether it's at home or out of the house. Interest. So if you've suddenly lost interest in your hobbies that you've always had and they're slacking off. So it could be music, watching a certain TV show, anything really, whatever your interests are. Social life. So if you start isolating and you recognize you're not responding to texts, I know COVID's kind of making that difficult right now, but if you're not meeting with friends like you used to, or playing cards or whatever you would like to do, spending time with your immediate family or even slightly extended family with these days, and finances. So if you stop paying your bills, you know, like, I mean, you know, it's in your calendar, or you see a bill pop up or it comes in the mail and you just don't get around to it. That's another red flag. Something's going on. And then we've got your spiritual life as well. So we want to make sure. So if you stop praying, if you have that practice, or if there's meditation in your life or something like that, personal reflection, if you stop doing that, again, that's another red flag. And so all of these things are triggers in a good way to identify, I need to course correct right away. And when you do, like the pain analogy I gave you with the snowball, you'll stop it before it gets really, really painful.
That makes a lot of sense. And, you know, one of the things that I remember from Sherry Koepfer's book, Intimate Deception, you know, here is a brilliant, attractive, caring, loving person who, upon finding out about her husband's sex addiction, it might have been the second time that it occurred, she said, I didn't bathe for weeks. And what we know to be true is that sometimes things get too stressful, and so you don't take care of some of this stuff in your PCI, or sometimes you become depressed. And that leaves you with such little energy that you go ahead and you miss some of those really important bodily functions, some of the basic hygiene. And the important thing is for us to understand that, as you called it before, there are red flags to say, hey, we need to look at something here. Maybe you don't have enough support. Maybe you need to get to a doctor, evaluated for medication.
Yeah.
I know the last time I had a friend that was significantly depressed, we all just kind of gathered around her, came over, cleaned her house, did her bills, and just kind of gave her a breather from everyday life so that she could replenish and restore and get back on her feet. And so, you know, one of the things that I love about the Wheel of Life, as well as Values Assessment and PCI, is they all reference the importance of support. Now, let me ask you, how does coaching specifically help partners who are going through trauma? Because trauma is really such a stress response, and we know that clinicians usually deal with trauma, depression, and stress. So these tools can help with the stress part. Tell me where you see a coach's role in helping a partner feel better about herself.
No, it's a great question, because I see it in all three phases, but specifically in the third stage of our trauma model, that post-traumatic growth, because she's been through the grieving, she's been through the safety and stabilization, and now she's ready to take off. It's like, I'm ready to go. Rubber hits the road. And that's that goal-oriented type of thing. Now, in the first two stages, so safety and stabilization, I can often be, and I am, just a sounding board, and I set up boundaries, and I talk to them about some of those basic things, and we use some of these tools that we've talked about today. And then when they go into the grieving process, and this is where I often refer out, of course, because they need specific trauma treatment, but if they still just need a sounding board, someone that's been through it or whatever it is that they need, but still slightly goal oriented. Absolutely. And then, like I said, the third phase, when it's post-traumatic growth, then we're off. We're just going like crazy. It's amazing.
Yeah. And you know, both you and I really emphasize that post-traumatic growth. Not only is that kind of the self-actualization we want our clients to get to, but we know that that is the third stage in a partner's journey of partner betrayal. And that's where she actually feels like she's stronger. She wouldn't ask for this to get strong, but ultimately she is stronger, has a better sense of boundaries, and is able to detach from whatever he's doing to find herself again. And, you know, tell me what got you into this field. I mean, you were a registered nurse, and you specifically decided, I know you work with everybody, but partners are a special population for you.
Thank you for mentioning that, because, yes, I have been a registered nurse for 25 years, and part of my career was as occupational health for my provincial government here. And so oftentimes I got into counseling within my licensure, and I just realized this is what I wanted to do. Well, then, as our precious Dr. Steppens would say, this particular niche found me. So when I recognized that I had already started my master's degree, and someone, a good colleague, friend of mine said, do you want to be into research or do you just want to go out and help people? And I said, well, I just want to hurry up and help people. And he says, then go be a coach. So I took my coaching program and did that over the course of a year. And I've been helping women ever since, because I want to provide hope and guidance and all of this is just a sample, small sample of the tools that we all have to help these women overcome the trauma and find their peace again. And that's basically my slogan, is peace no matter the circumstances, because whether you stay or go, or he leaves you or not, or whatever, these tools will find you peace.
Exactly. And both Jen and I attended the same coaching school. And for anybody out there who's thinking about being a coach, there are hundreds of excellent coaching programs, but Jen and I went to one that was really psychologically based. I mean, the president of the coaching school was a psychologist, and so obviously we love our IPEC coaching, don't we?
We do. We do. And I always tell people when they call me to ask about different coaching schools, I do credit IPEC for sure. So that's the Institute for Professional Excellence in Coaching. And they were above and beyond professional. I love that it took a long time to do, because they actually spaced it out so that we could do it appropriately and learn in between. And I mean, it could be costly, but I mean, you get what your money, you know, you get what you pay for. So,
well, get what you pay for. Yeah. As well as, a lot of partners that are in that post-traumatic growth, they decide they want to help partners. And when they do, if they don't want to go back to school for 6 or 7 years and get their clinical license, their social work or psychology license, they go into coaching, because they know that they can then get their APSAT certification and become an APSAT certified coach. So
absolutely,
for anybody who wants to help partners, you can do what Jen and I did, and that is become a coach. And Jen, as we wrap up, is there anything else you'd like to tell our listening audience?
I just want to say thank you to you, first and foremost, Carol, for always supporting partners and the addicts as well with the work that you do, for your work with the podcast, and to give our listening audience hope. Like I said, there's peace no matter the circumstances.
Well, thank you so much. And Jen, will you one more time, you told them they could reach out to you or to me if they wanted to see some of these tools, but give them your website one more time so that they can contact you to get that specialized help.
Well, thank you. It's dawninghearts.com, so D-A-W-N-I-N-G, hearts.com. And I can give out my cell phone number, too. If anyone has an iPhone, you can text me for free through iMessage or call me. It's 1-613-888-3600.
Well, continued success, Jen. I mean, you have been a part of APSETS in so many ways. You've been on the board. You've been director of operations. You are a fantastic coach. You run great groups. You see individual clients. Keep us posted on all the things you're doing because you really do represent all that APSETS has to offer.
Well, thank you, Carol. And I could say the exact same for you. God love you. Treasurer of our board. You're amazing.
And I don't even balance my own checkbook. I have to admit, it's my own PCI. I do look at my return checks, but I don't balance it.
We have to check on Carol, everyone.
That's right. And I don't know if anybody remembers, but Jen interviewed me when one of my guests for this show had to cancel real quick. And I'm like, Jen, can you think of anybody who needs to be on the show? And she said, Carol, I'll interview you at 2:00 today.
That was almost a year ago, I think, maybe. But yeah.
Yes, it was.
You are
yes,
a beautiful soul. And if you haven't, whoever's listening, go back and listen to that because Carol has an amazing story to tell. She is such a marketer. My husband all the time goes, when I say Carol, he goes, Carol the coach? And I'm like, yeah, that's her. So great business aspect, acumen, incredible talent as a therapist and a coach. I can't thank you enough for your influence on me, especially your book, Help Her Heal. Amazing.
Thank you, Jen. All right. We are out of here, but keep us posted. Let us know when you want to come back on the show because we love the tools. That's what our partners want. They want things to work on to help themselves heal, don't they?
They do. I hope so.
All right. You make it a good one. Talk to you soon.
You too. All right. Bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Again, that was Jen Cole of Dawning Hearts Coaching, and that's D-A-W-N-I-N-G, but you can Google Jennifer Cole, and she'll come right up, and she is APSOT certified and is just a happy, happy spirit. Okay, that's it for today. Thanks so much for listening, and can't say enough about you. I know you're hurting. I know you're getting healthy. If you want to assess how well you're doing, you can go to my website, Sex Help with Carol the Coach, and look at the online course for partners who wonder if they've got good post-traumatic growth, that is, not stress. We know they've had stress, but growth. You'll probably find that you have more growth than you even give yourself credit for. And that's what I know about you. So we'll see you next week for more Betrayal Recovery Radio.
For more information, go to APSETS.org, the Association of Partners of Sex Addicts Trauma Specialists, to find a professional in your area who is trained to help you after sexual betrayal.